Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
That it is. We're up to segment number three of our continuous courtroom coverage from the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's go there now.
And Your Honor, similar to the graphic photos of the children, the court took special precautions not to show those to the public. I don't know if the court wants to consider that as well.
Mr. Archibald, I did consider that. I was able to see these photos in advance just over the break and determine that I'll allow them to be displayed on the projector, even though they are graphic in nature.
Trying to make sure everyone else has the correct view. Officer Greenalch, what are we seeing in this photo?
This is a photo of the taken from the entry of the bedroom of Tammy's body on the bed.
And that is in fact Tammy on the bed?
Yes.
And that is how you first located her?
Yes.
And in this next photo, what are we seeing there on the floor?
So there is a mat on the floor with a towel and then some clothing items from the closet.
At any point, did you observe anyone do anything with that towel?
Not that I recall.
And what is this photo depicting?
This is another photo of Tammy's body on the bed.
Mm-hmm. while you were present, did you get closer to observe Tammy's body?
I did.
And when you did you make specific observations?
Yes.
What were some of those observations?
She had some pink, reddish foam on her mouth that was running down her cheek.
And is that what we're seeing in this photo here?
It is.
In the prior deaths you'd responded to, had you ever seen pink foam on someone's mouth?
No.
Do you know if you'd ever responded to a death where the cause was determined to be asphyxiation?
Not to my knowledge.
And is that similar to what we're seeing in this photo as well?
Yes.
Was this just a zoomed in picture of that?
Yes.
While you were on scene before anyone else arrived, did you do anything to manipulate or move Tammy's body?
The only thing I did was check a pulse on her arm, but I didn't move her body in any way.
After others had arrived on scene, was Tammy's body moved?
Yes.
Is that done to assist with an assessment?
Yes.
Were you present while that was being done?
I was.
And is this the start of moving Tammy's body?
Yes.
Did you make any additional observations as you started this process?
I did.
And what were those?
As we moved the blanket down so that more of her body was visible, I did notice lividity on her back and legs.
And in this photo, are we again seeing that pink foam?
Yes.
I'm going to show State's Exhibit 295J. In this photo, is this, again, a closer view of that pink foam?
Yes.
And at that time, was that one of the main observations that you had made with regard to Tammy's body?
It was.
Did you observe any bruising on Tammy's body?
Yes, she did have a small bruise on her arm.
And just by looking at that, were you able to determine how old or when that bruise would have been inflicted?
No, I was not.
Did you end up accompanying Tammy's body to the mortuary?
Yes.
Did you also take a photograph there?
I did.
And I'm going to show State's Exhibit 295L. Is that an accurate depiction of the photo you took?
Yes.
And in this photo, had the foam or the pink substance been removed from her face?
Yes, it had.
I have no further questions at this time, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Any cross-examination?
So, Officer, what time were you summoned to the scene?
Approximately 6 a.m.
And the report that Chad Daybell gave you was that at 5:40 a.m. is when he felt the covers pull off and she fell off the bed.
That's correct.
Okay. And so do you know what time the 911 call was?
I don't.
But the time that you were notified to go there was about 6 a.m.?
Correct.
And so in talking to Chad about, did you ask him why the 20-minute difference between falling off the bed and the officer arriving, or when he called 911?
I didn't specifically ask him about that.
And so you arrived at about 6 a.m.?
Yes.
And it was apparent to you that she was already deceased?
Yes.
And that the Chad and Garth indicated they had picked the body up off the ground and put it back on the bed?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if this is part of your training and experience, but bodies don't move if they're already deceased, right?
Correct.
So for her to fall off the bed, she would have been alive at that point, right?
I assume so.
Okay. So sometime between 5:40 a.m. and 6 a.m. is that when you believe that she passed away?
I don't know that I'm qualified to make that determination.
Okay. But just by the time you got there, there was no point in calling for an ambulance?
Correct.
By the time you got there, there was no life-saving measure that could have been had?
Correct.
Do you know if CPR had been performed on Tammy between 5:40 a.m. and 6 a.m.?
To my knowledge, it was not performed.
All right. Thank you, officer.
Any redirect?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Officer Greenelch, you were asked about a time of death for Tammy. Is that part of what you do with your job duties?
No.
Are you qualified to determine the time of death?
No.
Have you taken any medical training in order to be able to do that?
No.
You were asked about a dead person falling off the bed and Chad saying that happened at about 5:40 a.m.?
Correct.
Is that correct? Did Tammy, based on what observations you were able to make, did it appear Tammy had only been dead for 20 or 30 minutes when you arrived?
No, it appeared she had been dead much longer.
And why did it appear that way?
And I'll object if this witness isn't qualified to make time of death, then we're just guessing.
I will sustain that. I think it's speculative.
Based on your observations, was Tammy's body cold to the touch?
Yes.
Did you notice signs of lividity?
Yes.
Were you able to determine or could you tell if there were signs of rigor mortis setting in?
I could not determine that.
One moment, Your Honor. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Ms. Greenhalgh, that will conclude your testimony then. Can the witness be excused or released from subpoena?
Your Honor, the state would request she be released.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. Thanks again for your testimony. The bailiff will assist you in exiting the courtroom, and the state, you can call your next witness.
The state will call Cammie Wilmore.
All right, now that this witness has been sworn, before we begin examination, let me just inquire, have you reviewed any of the trial testimony in this case, either by listening in at any remote broadcast location or reading it on the internet or listening into it on the internet?
I have not.
Okay, thank you for your response. As you're being questioned, please make verbal responses to any question asked so that we keep a clear record and try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you. With that in mind, Ms. Blake, you can commence with your direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Cammy, C-A-M-M-Y, Wilmore, W-I-L-L-M-O-R-E.
Where are you currently employed?
I am currently a Fremont County Advanced EMT, and also I am an administrative assistant at our seminary, the CES.
How long have you been an EMT?
At this point, about 14 years.
And as an EMT, are you trained in life-saving measures?
Yes.
And are you trained in responding to emergency medical situations?
Yes.
Prior to being employed as an EMT, did you work in the medical field?
Yes. I was a medical assistant for about 40 years.
Were you the deputy coroner for Fremont County in 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall when you were asked or when you became the deputy coroner?
I think it was February, March is when I started in 2019.
What are some of the duties of a deputy coroner?
I will go on calls when the coroner is not available or close to, I live in St. Anthony, so I would respond to ones in that area where she's up living farther away, and to go in and assess the body, pronounce time of death, try to gather information of why the person was deceased, medical history, that kind of thing.
And as a deputy coroner, do you respond out to unattended deaths?
Yes.
And what is an unattended death?
That's where they haven't been under, like on hospice or currently under a doctor's care, where somebody was not with them when they passed away. They were found deceased.
Had you responded out to scenes where someone ended up dying or was already dead as an EMT?
Yes.
And did you end up responding out to the report of an unattended death on October 19th of 2019?
Yes, I did.
Prior to responding out to that death, do you know approximately how many deaths you had responded out to in your capacity as a deputy coroner?
I was fairly new, so I think about five. I had gone on a few training ones, but my own was about five.
And out of those deaths that you've responded to as a deputy coroner, had you ever responded to a death which was determined to be caused by asphyxiation?
No.
When you responded out to the unattended death on October 19th of 2019, did you learn who the decedent was?
Yes.
And who was that?
Tammy Daybell.
Had you heard her name before?
I had not.
When you arrived on scene, who else was present?
Chad Daybell and officer from St. Anthony Alley. That's how I knew her.
And did you end up making any observations regarding Chad Daybell?
Yes, when I walked in, he was distressed, distraught, appropriately so, just saying that he found his wife dead, and I noticed that he was distraught.
Did you make any observations regarding Garth Daybell?
Not at that time. He wasn't in the room when I first came in.
Do you gather information from individuals on scene as part of looking into the unattended death?
Yes.
Did you do that in this case?
Yes.
Did you ask Chad Daybell about the circumstances surrounding the death of his wife?
Yes, I did.
What did he tell you?
He told me that about midnight,
that Tammy was had gotten sick, coughing and gotten sick, and gone to the bathroom and was vomiting. And he went in there with her and then came back to bed. She was okay, came back to bed, said she was okay, and then they had gone to bed. And he proceeded to tell me that she was in menopause and that she liked to sleep with her leg outside of the bed. And he felt like that's what she had been doing that night, that her leg had been outside of the bed. And he said that they'd fallen asleep. And then later on, he felt like he might have moved or rolled in the bed, and he heard her fall out of the bed. And he got up, and she was out of the bed with her head and body down and like one leg twisted in the blankets, and she was cold and not breathing at that time.
And when you were asked to respond out, was there any indication as to whether or not an ambulance was being requested?
I did not think there was an ambulance coming because I was called by our coroner. She got the call, and then she called me and said, hey, can you go? You're 10 miles away. You can get there quicker than I can, and she said she would be coming.
And it was described to you as Tammy was already deceased.
Yes, yes. That's what I thought I was going to was a death, yes.
Did Chad indicate to you whether or not Tammy's body had been moved prior to your arrival?
Yes, he said that he'd gotten Garth. And that's the first time I had heard that he'd gotten him to come in, and they had put her back on the bed. So she was not on the floor when I got there.
And did he describe how she'd fallen out of bed, if it was her whole body or part of it?
The leg thing, I think that was what he was trying to say to me about her leg hanging out, because he said that just one, like, I recall like a leg was twisted in the blanket so that she was, I pictured like hanging kind of with her head and part of her body on the ground. But I'm not positive that that's what he meant.
But he didn't indicate the whole body had fallen out from your recollection.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
Did you end up actually going in to observe the body?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, observe her body that day?
Yes, I did.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask to publish part of State's Exhibit 295 again.
You may do so. It's been admitted.
And for the court and counsel's benefit, I'm publishing 295C. Does that appear to be what you observed when you first arrived?
As much as I can remember, yes.
As part of your job as a deputy coroner, do you end up examining or looking at the body?
Yes, we do.
Do you recall if you made any specific observations regarding Tammy's body?
Yes, the first thing that has stuck with me the whole time is when I came in, she had this foam coming out of her mouth, quite a bit of foam. And I remember thinking that was odd. And she then touching her and feeling her, that she was obviously had been deceased for a little while because she was very cold and she had the rigor set in. So that was my first impression.
And when you talk about rigor, could you describe a little bit what you mean by that?
The stiffness of the body after a bit of time, different parts become stiff, and her legs were out, and so that showed to me that it had been a little while because they weren't just hanging limp like when you first pass away. Different parts of the body, and depending on temperature of the room and the condition of the person, there's different time frames, so can't really say exactly how long, but she had been I would say a few hours probably.
And do you recall approximately when you arrived on scene?
I got the call at 6 a.m., I remember, so I figured it was, you know, maybe 35 minutes later, 6:35, 6:40, something like that.
And you would have estimated her to have been dead before 6 a.m.?
Yes, yes.
And would you believe she would have been dead before 5:30 a.m.?
I would.
after those initial observations, did you observe anything else about the body that caught your attention?
I was looking, because you kind of want to look. She was 49, so I was like, this is unusual, because she's not that old. So I was kind of looking for things like on her neck or bruising, scratches, those kind of things. And I observed just some bruising on a bicep. I think it was her right arm and forearm. But they didn't look new. They looked more like an older bruise. I didn't notice anything weird that way. I mean, maybe her color was normal for being deceased.
And with the bruises, did you do any additional testing to determine when those would have been inflicted?
No, not at that time. I did not do anything.
Did you notice anything regarding Tammy's face?
Besides the foam? No.
And when you talk about the foam, does that appear to be what you observed that day?
Yeah, and that's they get like a pink frothy foam, like a bleeding. That's what I assumed that to be, like some blood. There's some. I don't
Excuse
know if
me,
you.
Ms. Blake, for the record, what exhibit was just published?
Oh, I apologize, Your Honor. It is 295E.
Okay, thank you.
And you were saying with the pink foam?
Yeah, in my knowledge, I was thinking of things like congestive heart failure, something that I know that maybe could cause that with the pink frothing. And so my mind kind of went to that, and I was thinking, is she looking for things like swelling and things that would go with that? But I didn't see any other signs with that.
And did that pink foam, had you ever been to a death scene where you had seen that before?
I had not.
Did it cause you some concern?
It did. It caused me enough concern that I got my phone and I actually looked up poisoning, and I looked up foam from a dead person. I looked up poisoning just because I thought it was weird and I had not seen that before.
And with regard to her face, I ask if you'd noticed anything else. At any point, did you see any kind of an injury to her head that would be consistent with hitting a nightstand?
I did not.
At some point, did anyone else arrive on scene?
Yes, then Brenda Dye, our coroner, came on scene, and I was new, like I've said, and so I kind of deferred to her when she came in on scene.
And I guess I should ask, prior to her arrival, did you ask Chad about Tammy's health?
Yes, I did. I was trying to get a history. Had she been ill? Has anything happened? And he said that she'd had low blood pressure, hypotension, and she'd had a few little bits of feeling dizzy, lightheaded. And that was all he told me. He did say for the last month she acted like she hadn't felt well, maybe like a little clumsy. And so I began asking about like medications, because having worked in the medical field, I kind of can take a medication and relate it to an illness. And so I was asking about that, and she said that she didn't really go to a doctor much, and that and I noticed right away on her nightstand there was like a homeopathic natural remedy book. And so I was like, oh, does she do this kind of thing for her health? And he said, yeah, she did the homeopathic type stuff. And so again, my mind kind of went, oh, she maybe had something bad and didn't go to a doctor.
Did you end up looking at medications, whether herbal or over-the-counter or
yes.
prescription?
Yes, that's part of our job. And I asked to see medications, and they took me out into another room, like the kitchen off the living room, kitchen area was a cupboard. And I looked, and there was herbs and vitamins and natural-type remedies in there. No medications that I could see to correspond with a medical illness that I was familiar with.
Did Chad indicate with regard to the fainting, or I think you said that she would kind of feel dizzy?
Lightheaded.
Yeah. Lightheaded. Did he indicate if she'd seen a doctor for that?
He said no. Like, I asked him that specifically. Like, does she go to the doctor for any of that? And he said no, she didn't like to go to a doctor, to doctors.
And with regard to the indication of the low blood pressure, did he say whether or not that had been medically diagnosed?
No. And Yeah, no.
And when you're on scene at these unattended deaths, do you have the benefit of reviewing medical charts or medical reports?
No.
Are you generally relying on information provided from family members with regard to health?
Yes.
And is that, in fact, what you did in this case?
Yes.
And that information was provided by Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And you said when the coroner arrived on scene, you were still present?
Yes.
At some point, was a further examination done of Tammy's body on scene?
Yes, I think Brenda did a little bit more. Well, there's two of us, and so I think I had gone out to look at medications. She was still in there talking. Now she's questioning him and talking and getting different, you know, her report from it.
And when you say him, was that Chad Daybell?
Yeah, that was Chad Daybell.
And you said when Brenda arrived on scene, you deferred to her and
yes.
She took over?
Yes.
As part of your job, do you end up determining whether or not an autopsy should be conducted?
As a deputy coroner, I would if I was the only one on the coroner wasn't there. But as the coroner was there, that would not be my responsibility.
Were you involved in a conversation regarding whether or not to conduct an autopsy?
Yes.
And at the conclusion, was an autopsy requested at that time?
No.
Do you know if Chad Daybell requested to have an autopsy performed?
He did not want one. That was asked. Well, as we were discussing it, he was asked, and he said no.
Based on the observations you made at that time and the information provided to you, did you have concerns or questions regarding Tammy's death?
I did, and the two factors were her age and this foam.
Could there be a medical explanation, as far as you know, to explain the foam outside of some kind of foul play?
At that time, I didn't know of any. I have since looked. I looked up stuff just because I wanted to know. And there were some things that were mentioned, you know, that I've read about that there could be, I don't know if exactly like what I saw, but some foam.
At the time you responded out, do you also rely on external information if it's provided to you or if you know it?
Yes.
Had you ever heard the name J.J. Vallo?
I had not.
Had you ever heard the name Tylee Ryan?
No.
Had you heard the name Alex Cox?
No.
Had you heard the name Lori Vallo?
I had not.
Have you since heard of those names associated with Chad Daybell?
Yes.
If you had had any of that information at the time, do you...
I'll object, Your Honor. We're speculating here.
Sustained.
One moment, Your Honor. I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Cross-examination?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fulmer. That'll conclude your testimony then for this trial. Is this witness to be released from any subpoena?
The state would request she be released, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. That'll conclude your appearance at court then. The bailiff will assist you in leaving the courtroom. Thank you for your testimony today. You can call your next witness if you'd like, Ms. Blake.
And, Your Honor, I'm just looking at the time. I'm happy to call the next witness and get started, but I would anticipate she'll be a little longer than when I think the court had intended to break.
Okay. Why don't we go for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll take that late morning break.
And the state will call Brenda Dye.
Swear affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
All right, before we get started with testimony, let me just inquire of the witness. Have you reviewed in any way any of the trial testimony in this case by either attending any of the simulcast locations or watching it online or listening to it or reading about it in any way?
No.
Okay, thank you for that response. As your question, please talk directly into that microphone, make verbal responses to any answers, and try to avoid talking at the same time as the attorney so we keep the record clear. And with that in mind, Ms. Blake, you can inquire on your direct examination.
Thank you. Would you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Brenda Dye, last name D-Y-E.
Where are you currently employed?
I'm currently employed in Fremont County as the county coroner and Fremont County EMS.
And talking about your employment as an EMS, how long have you been employed as an EMT or an EMS?
I've been an EMT for 5 years and advanced EMT for 20 years.
As part of your EMT training, are you trained in life-saving techniques?
Yes, I am.
Are you also trained in responding to emergency medical situations?
Yes.
And you indicated that you're also employed as the deputy, or excuse me, as the coroner for Fremont County?
Yes.
Is that an elected position?
Yes.
Do you recall when you took office?
I was elected in 2018. I took office January 2019.
When you took office as a coroner, did you end up going to any training?
Yes.
What was that?
I did a week-long coroner school in Las Vegas, Nevada. I also did a spring training in Boise here in Ada County.
Had you been employed anywhere previously as a coroner?
No.
What are some of your duties as a coroner?
As a coroner, I respond to all unattended deaths. I make sure the bodies get to the correct facility, the funeral home. I conduct investigations. And I'm the one that certifies the cause of death and signs off on the death certificate.
And when you say unattended death, what do you mean by that?
Somebody who is not directly under a doctor's care.
And as a coroner, do you respond out to all unattended deaths in Fremont County?
Yes, I do. And if I'm not available, I do have a couple deputy coroners that help me out.
Do you recall responding to a report of an unattended death on the morning of October 19th, 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when you responded?
It was just before 6 a.m., I believe, or shortly thereafter.
And do you, when you say around 6 a.m., is that when the call was reported or the death was reported?
It was reported approximately 5:45 in the morning.
And prior to you responding out, did anyone else respond?
Yes.
Who was that?
I called my deputy coroner, Cammie Wilmore, to respond. She was closer than I was. When dispatch called me, the reporting party was very upset and distraught, so I had my deputy coroner go so she could meet me there on scene. And also, there was an officer on scene.
And you had requested specifically the deputy coroner respond out based on the description of the decedent's husband?
Yes.
And is it possible that your arrival was closer to 7 a.m.?
I'll object, Your Honor. Leading.
It is leading. Sustained.
To be clear, when you arrived on scene, your deputy coroner was already there?
Yes.
And if she had been there at 6:30, you would have arrived after that?
I'll object, Your Honor. Leading.
Overruled.
Yes.
When you arrived on scene, did you make any initial observations regarding Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And what were those observations?
He was clearly distraught, upset, crying that his wife was deceased.
As part of your job as a coroner, are you also looking at the scene?
Yes.
Are you gathering information from individuals on scene?
Yes.
When you first entered into the residence, were there any observations of the scene that caused you concern?
No.
At some point, were you led to where Tammy's body was?
Yes.
Do you recall who told you where her body was located?
I believe it was my deputy coroner, Wilmore.
And prior to going back to look at Tammy's body, did you have any discussions with anyone?
Yes.
And who was that?
I had a discussion with Deputy Coroner Wilmore and Officer Greenhall in the kitchen of the house.
And do you know when you arrived if Tammy's body had been moved?
Yes.
Do you know who had moved her body?
Yes, Chad and Garth.
How did you learn that they had moved her body?
They stated that they had picked her up off the floor and put her back in bed.
And when you say they, did both Chad and Garth tell you that?
Yes.
Did Chad provide any additional information regarding how Tammy ended up on the floor?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
He said he felt her move off the bed, fall off the bed. And when he woke up, he touched her and she was cold to the touch. He then yelled for his son, Garth, whose room was across the hall. And the both of them picked her up off the floor and put her back in bed.
Do you recall if he indicated approximately when that would have been?
Before 6 a.m. that morning.
Did he tell you anything else surrounding the circumstances of Tammy's death?
Yes, he stated the night before she had a coughing fit and threw up, and him and Garth saw her throw up in the toilet. She flushed it. He, as in Chad, helped her back to bed. And she stated that she was okay, and he then went back to sleep.
And outside of Chad having moved the body, do you know if her body had been moved by the officer, the deputy coroner at that time?
No.
And had it been moved?
No.
I asked it. I think I ask a compound question, so I was just trying to be clear. Your Honor, I would ask to be able to publish some of states' exhibit of 295, the first one being 295A.
You can publish it.
And looking at that photo, is that an accurate depiction of what you saw when you first arrived?
Yes.
And after gathering the information from Chad, did you make observations of Tammy's body yourself?
Yes.
And what were some of the observations that you ended up making?
Just by looking at her walking through the door, she had some blood-tinged sputum coming from her mouth. And she was covered in blankets.
Your Honor, I would next publish States 295E.
Okay.
When you talk about the blood-tinged sputum, is that what we're seeing in this photo here?
Yes.
Do you recall at the time you responded out to this, to the death of Tammy Daybell, how many deaths you'd responded out to as a deputy coroner?
Approximately 20.
To to the best of your knowledge, were any of those deaths determined to be death by asphyxiation?
No.
Had you responded out to scenes as an EMT in which you had seen something similar to this sputum?
Yes.
So you had seen this before?
Yes.
Had you seen it very many times previous to this?
No.
And with regard to that sputum, was anything done? Your Honor, this is State's Exhibit 295B.
Okay.
Yes, that towel sitting next to the bed on that mat. It's a kitchen hand towel. And Chad had been wiping her face with that towel.
And did Chad tell you that?
Yes.
Did you also do anything with that towel?
I did. I wiped it away to see if it stopped coming out. And when I wiped it, then there was still blood-tinged sputum after I wiped.
Did you make other observations with regard to Tammy's body?
After I questioned Chad, he left the room, and Deputy Coroner Wilmore and Officer Greenhall helped me. We uncovered the body, took the blankets off, and did our investigation. We did notice a bruise on her right arm, I believe. And when we rolled her, she had lividity in her back and backside.
And when you talk about lividity, what do you mean by that?
Lividity is the blood pooling at the lowest point of the body once the heart stops beating and the blood stops circulating.
And Your Honor, I would publish 295G.
Very well.
And when you talk about removing the blankets from the body, is this an accurate depiction of what you would have observed?
Yes.
And you indicated the lividity you observed would have been on the backside?
Yes.
And I would publish 295F.
You may.
And I don't know if you can see it that well on the big screen. You may be able to see it better on your screen. When you talk about the bruising, can you see that in this photo at all?
A little bit on the right arm.
And were you able to make a determination regarding when you believed those bruises would have been inflicted?
Not an exact determination. We thought
Object, Your Honor, to foundation.
I'll sustain that. I think it needs to be additional foundation for that testimony.
I will ask it this way. Did you do any kind of assessment on scene to determine the how old those bruises may have been?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll object, Your Honor. I don't think she's qualified to make that determination.
The foundation you laid when related to her experience as an EMT over the years stated, but I didn't hear any additional information that would indicate she's qualified to give that opinion. So if it is there, Ms. Blake, you could inquire with further foundation.
As part of your investigation while you were on scene, did you ask Chad for more information regarding Tammy's health?
Yes.
Did he, in fact, provide that?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
He said that she had been feeling really off lately, like she wasn't in her body, that she had had some syncopal episodes, which is fainting. One specific time was at the temple as she was kneeling at the altar. When she went to stand up, she passed out on the floor. He also stated she had very low blood pressure. So I asked if she had seen a doctor for that or been treated for that. He said that she didn't go to doctors very often. She tried to treat everything naturally with oils and natural supplements. He said that she had fallen a few times by the syncopal episodes.
Do you recall if he told you anything about Tammy having shaking fits?
Yes, when I observed the blood tinged, the pink sputum coming from her mouth, I started to question what that could be from. I asked if she had any seizure-like activity when she had the syncopal episodes. He did say that when she had those episodes, her legs would shake and she did have some convulsions.
And did he tell you about the shaking fits prior to you mentioning seizures?
No.
So he continued to provide additional information based on things you would mention?
Yes.
That wraps up segment number 3 of our continuous coverage. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Segment 4 is on the way next. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.